Welcome to the show, Lottie Moss.
Thank you for having me.
Let's go back to the beginning then.
I was born and raised in Sussex. I think because I started at such a young age, I was leading like almost a double life. All I wanted to do was, you know, be at home with my friends and not be with strangers. What? Being around people that were like 20 years older than me, I would follow what they did. So all the like drinking and the drugs, because I just thought that was normal. My first paycheck, I blew it in 2 weeks.
How much was it?
14,000. I thought it was an unlimited supply of money. Turns out that's not real. The person that wrote the article was a woman, and she was just absolutely going in on me. Who's laughing now? Because they were trying to mold me so badly into Kate Moss part two, and I just never saw that for myself.
Let's talk about OnlyFans.
I actually had friends that did it, and I saw them doing it, and I was like, this is a bit of me. I really don't feel any shame for it. I feel very empowered about what I do, and I found a lot of like-minded people through it.
Let's talk about your tattoos. How drunk do you have to be to make that choice?
Pretty drunk, yeah.
Guys, Matt Haycock's here, and welcome to another episode of The Matt Haycock Show, where today I've got a guest who was thrust into the limelight from a young age. She's walked runways, she's graced magazine covers, she's embraced the challenges of reality TV. She's an advocate for mental health awareness and body positivity. She's had highs, she's had lows. We've got here very early in the morning, and she's in a good mood, despite how early it may be. Welcome to the show, Lottie Moss.
Thank you for having me. It's an honour to be here.
It is very early, though.
It's too early for me, I'm not going to lie. I don't normally get out of bed at this time.
I'm surprised how
cheery
you are.
You're very special for me to be getting out of bed at this time.
Thank you very much. Or was it a late night last night?
Do you know what? It was about 1 a.m. I think I went to bed because I went to an event last night. But it was a really fun event. It started quite late as well. You know how these events, they like start at like 8:30, get there for 9, and it's like... But I had dinner and went to bed, so that was nice.
But you're still young enough to drink and wake up and it not make any difference.
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't feel worse for wear at all. I feel like normal. I just feel bad because it's early.
See, two nights ago, I shared a bottle of wine with a client, literally a bottle of wine and a burger. Went to bed, normal time. Well, obviously, wasn't remotely pissed from a bottle of wine. All of yesterday was like a write-off for me.
Really?
And I'm only just starting to feel human again today.
What? That's crazy. No, I don't really get hangovers like that. I just get more tired. But I'm here and I'm ready to go. I'm rearing and ready to go. By the way, I loved your introduction of me.
Thank you
very
much.
That was so complimentary. I was like, wow, is that me?
Well, I've got to put you in a good mood to get the best out of you.
That's true. Yeah. This is your angle.
Well, let's see if it works. Let's go back to the beginning then and start where it all began. Tell me about your childhood from, I guess, as far back as you can remember.
Gosh, we're really starting with the deep stuff, aren't we? Well, I was born and raised in Sussex with my parents, who are actually still together 20 years strong. Actually, probably like more like 25 years. No, old. I'm 25, so it must be about 26, 27 years now. We grew up very, I came from quite like a humble beginning, as I'm not going to lie. Like my parents had quite a small house and we, everyone like knew each other on the street. So yeah, it was very like small town vibes. I was never very academic at school. So I kind of knew from a very young age, I was like destined for more. I was like, this place can't handle me. Like I need to be in the big city with the lights. Like I knew that I was going to be something, you know?
And in terms of family life, I mean, obviously we know about your half sister, but did you have any? Have you got any like 100% brothers?
No, it was just me, only child. So I was very spoiled when I was younger by my parents. I loved being the only child, and I think I like enjoyed having all my parents' love like on me, because my dad had children from before, obviously, my sister, and he also had a son who's my brother. And
no shit.
Yeah. My half brother. But I never grew up with them. So it was always just me in the house, which was so nice. I remember my parents got a cat and we also got a dog. And I remember being so jealous of them when they were like babies and being like, oh, why is the attention not on me? Like, but yeah.
And when did you think about wanting to start work?
Do you know what? I think I never even really thought of it by the point that I started working. I was about 13 years old when I got discovered by my old agency. And so at 13 years old, you're not thinking, right, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my career? You're still like so young. And I didn't really start working fully because at that age, you're still you know, not really allowed to work in certain countries and things like that. So I did a few test shoots. They really liked me. And they were like, right, we're going to sit on this until you're 16. And so about 15, 16, I started to do more sort of paid jobs and things like that.
And obviously, I know you say you didn't grow up with your sister Kate, but did was she an influence? I don't know if influence is a word, but I mean, obviously, she was an older person that you look up to as a younger person. Is that what made you want to go into modeling?
I didn't even think really that much about her because me and my sister aren't very close. We didn't really spend a lot of time together, so I think more for me, I was like, I saw. Even at that age, I saw where my life was and the situation that my parents were in terms of my parents didn't really make that much money and they had a lot of money problems. At one point when I was 13, my parents went bankrupt and my mum had opened a shop basically and it just hadn't been successful. And it really caused my dad a lot of upset and my mum a lot of upset. My mum was going through early menopause, and my dad went through depression and went away to go to a treatment center for it. So it was like a very chaotic time in my life, and I think it made me like grow up very, very quickly. So when I hit like 15, 16, I was like, right, I've got to be like the breadwinner for the family, for my mum and dad. So that's kind of why I decided to start properly working.
And were you looking at it in that you want to be the breadwinner to repay them for what you've done for you? Or was it also, I guess, you know, you want your own money, your own life, and you want to get to the big city?
I didn't want to stay in the town that I was in. It was a very, like, small town, and kind of the people from there stay there. And I just knew that was not what I wanted to do. I had friends that went to a private school at the time, and I sort of saw their lives and their houses and stuff. And I was like, this is what I want. I want to be successful. Like I used to look at their parents even and be like, I want to be like you. I want to have drive. I want to have determination. And I saw the financial situation that my parents were in. And I thought, I don't ever want to be in a situation that if there's an issue that comes up in my life, I can't afford to pay for it. But my parents were so loving and I wouldn't trade them for the world. Like their love was just like so much better than any money that I could have been given by them. But yeah, I think seeing them struggle definitely, you know, motivated me to want to do better.
So before we started recording, we were talking outside and you were saying that you don't like being shouted at. And because we were talking about the SAS challenge, you were saying it's absolutely not for you because, you know, if someone shouts at you...
It's being shouted and being told what to do, which I have an issue with.
So, I'm not going to say it's conflictory. That's probably the wrong word, conflictory to having drive. But I guess, you know, I would I've got drive. But then, you know, as long as the right person is shouting at me in the right way to, you know, I guess to help me get better or help me towards my goals, and then I see it as a positive. Obviously, if it's just a dickhead shouting, I mean, it's a different story. But I guess as that driven person, you know, have you had motivating mentors, or have there been people that you've looked up to help move you forward?
100%. I think the people that I've worked with, definitely. I've met some, you know, creators and some, you know, people in the industry that I was in that just really motivated me. And I think seeing how successful you can be, like, especially women around me, I think seeing women that were just successful and had like made such a career of themselves, because I think it is a struggle for women to get themselves on the same level sometimes as men, like in terms of when they're in a meeting or things like that. And I've spoken to women that have been in meetings and we're often like overlooked. You know, if we've got the ideas, it's kind of like, whatever, you know. And then when the man says it, everyone's like, wow, you know, what a, like, revolutionary idea. So I think to be taken seriously as a woman, you have to be like very, very, very strong. And I saw so many strong women around me and I was like, I want to be like a boss. I want to like go into meetings and men be like, wow, like she's got the idea. I want everyone to feel that way, you know, but like not just men, but yeah.
How much, I mean, going off, I was never planning on talking about this, but I mean, you interesting angle or tangent, right? I mean, how often do you see that in terms of the male female imbalance in you know, particularly, let's say, in the celebrity world, in the media working world? Because I mean, listen, I've been in business for 25 years, right? And you know, I've had all kinds of businesses from boring to exciting. You know, I've had strip clubs, I've had bars, pubs, yeah, finance, every kind of business, and I've, you know, worked with all kinds of people, and genuinely never ever have I have I witnessed women not having the opportunities, that men have got. And I know when it comes to my own personal employment, I mean, I can't do the numbers off the top of my head, but I mean, I've at least got a 50-50 hired ratio of men to women, probably more women than men. But again, never ever has it crossed my mind that, I mean, I get pissed off when someone talks about having to hire from a diversity perspective because, I don't want to hire someone because they're a woman. I don't want to hire someone because they're black. I want to hire the best person.
Yeah.
And, across the board of my different businesses, we've got old, young, black, white, brown, men, women. But I genuinely, I've never seen, I mean, the only time I see, exclusion is in the media. I don't mean in the media industry, but in the newspapers.
I'd never seen it with my own eyes, and I'd only heard about it. So I'd heard about it from a few women that I've met over the years that worked in the city and in jobs where the company is owned by a white straight male. and I've spoken, even I spoke to a friend of a friend recently, and he was saying that he works at a company that is mainly men, and they were trying to hire women, but the women don't want to work there because there's so many men there. And he was trying to explain to the CEO, look, we need to hire more women. But he's like, well, do we really need to? And he's like, yeah, it's 2023. We need to hire women. But they don't want to work here because there's so many men here. And I'd never experienced it until a time where I started to help a friend of mine. Her boyfriend was starting a company which was really similar to OnlyFans, and it's been liquidated now into Playboy Centerfold. But he was explaining to me how fun it would be, and this was my first introduction into OnlyFans actually. And he was like, "It's kind of the same, but it's going to be us taking care of you." So I was like, "That sounds great." I lived with him and I lived with her. And me and her would help get clients for him. So we'd get the women who would be with him, basically. He'd manage them. And we knew all the girls in LA. So we were bringing him the girls and he was managing them. And he was telling us we were going to get a cut from it. And we pretty much never saw any of that money,
Yeah.
And we'd go to meetings where it would be him and the two guys that had started the company and put all the money in. And whenever we wanted to say anything, it was like, shh. Okay, cool. Yeah, whatever. No one cares. And that was the first time I'd really experienced it, because I've never worked a 9-to-5 job. So I'd never really been in a situation like that before. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm almost making up scenarios or making excuses, but I mean, I definitely hear about it more in the, let's say the banking world, corporate world.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because, I don't know, almost in those businesses, it's not the people doing the employing, it's not their own money. They're a banker on a corporate ladder or something, where ultimately they're playing with someone else's money, and there's some girl that they fancy and want to, and she doesn't give the attention back, so they keep her pushed down or whatever it may be. But I just think, as a business owner where every penny of the business is my own and the success or failure directly impacts me at home, why would I do anything other than hire the best person, best person for the job?
No, 100%. I think it does differ. And I think definitely in the fashion industry and things like that, it's not really an issue. But I do think, more in the corporate world and things like that, it's probably a little bit worse.
So let's go back to modelling.
Yeah, circle back.
I feel we're going to be doing a lot of circling. So you got spotted by a talent scout or something, an agent, when you were 13, 14.
Yeah.
But they wanted to hold you back till you were 16.
Yes.
So what happened during that time?
So what, during the first few years or?
Well, I guess I'm saying, were you happy to wait for that agency till you were 16, or did you want to find someone else?
I was so young and I was at school and I had other issues. When you're at school and you're you're talking about who the boy that fancies you, or what you're doing at the weekend or the party you're going to. And I think because I started at such a young age as well, sort of 16 years old, I was getting taken out of school and I was going to shoots and things like that. I was going to different countries. I was leading almost a double life. And it was, so when I was 17, 18, I remember going to LA and coming back to school and being this is so weird. I'm on a video shoot. I'm a huge budget shoot. And then I'm coming back and going to school and reading books and doing lessons. And I found the whole concept so strange. But
strange and hard. Did you not want to come back to school?
Do you know what I did? And this was the thing I struggled with, especially when I turned 18, I moved to London and I decided to do full-time modelling. I really struggled with how much I was away from my social life and my friends. And I had a boyfriend at the time, and I really struggled with, just not being normal anymore. Because I liked that I had half normal and then half, you know, crazy life. But when I moved here and I had no school anymore, it was my full-time job. And that's, I really struggled with that. And all I wanted to do was, you know, be at home with my friends and not be with strangers that were essentially like making money off of me, like just working me like a show horse. Like it was really taxing and honestly very, very stressful for somebody of that age. Being around people that were like 20 years older than me and them sort of, I would follow what they did. So all the like drinking and the drugs and all of this, I did exactly what they were doing. So I just thought that was what was, you know, that was normal. Like that was the fashion industry. And, you know, being worked as much as I did as well, I think was quite, you know, from an angle from an agency, they want to make the most money out of you while they can. So they book you on every single thing that they get that's money, you know? So I was Japan, New York, Milan, Paris, like LA, here, there, everywhere. I was like never at home. So I think that was really stressful. But I had a good time and it was an experience for sure. And it's definitely made me who I am today. And I've seen so many different sides of an industry that now I'm like, right, I can take that and put it into my future life.
And what was the money like back then? I mean, like, can you remember your first job, your first paycheck?
Yeah, I remember my first paycheck. I blew it in 2 weeks.
How much was it?
14,000.
14,000 for your first job?
For my first job, yeah.
How old were you, 16?
Yeah, I think 16, yeah.
And what was happening? Well, obviously, you blew it. I was going to say, you've got access to it.
But I didn't blow it. I spent it on clothes.
Investing.
Imagine me who, like, you know, I'd only ever really got, you know, pocket money and stuff here and there. My mum and dad, they, you know, they weren't really making that much money. So at Christmas and stuff, I never really got, like, it's not sob story, like, I'm not, like, sad from it, but, like, I never really got, like, really extravagant presents or anything. So when I got this 14 grand, I was like, here we go.
And did your parents, I mean, were you allowed to have all the money direct at that age? I don't know, you know, like sometimes when it's like child actors or child workers, like the money has to kind of go through the
right,
parents.
Right, so this is funny, actually. I blew this 14 grand so quickly. My mum and dad were like, right, we have to do something here because our kid is not built for this. So we went and met up with my sister's accounting agency and I've been with him ever since. He's okay. Called James. He's amazing. And yeah, he manages my finances now. So after that, I had someone to manage my finances because otherwise I would have blown through that so quickly.
And you obviously mentioned your sister. I know you say you're not close. Back then, I mean, like when you got your first job and you started to work. I mean, did you were you close then? Did you go to her for any advice or?
No, we just never really spoke, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just, because it's always been that way, I never was sad about it, really. Like, it was, you know, obviously it's not great to hear that, you know, someone doesn't really care for a relationship with you, but, you know, we'd see each other at Christmases and things like that and sort of play family a little bit, but, you know, I'd never really known her. So it wasn't like I was losing someone. I think someone that, you know, if their mom or dad has left them, I think that's a really big pain because it's someone that you knew that has chosen to leave you. I never knew her and she never knew me. So it was never really like she chose to leave. She's just, you know, she's 20 years older than me. She's got every right to, you know, live her own life. She doesn't need to, you know, hang around with me. So, yeah.
But I guess presumably, even though you guys didn't know much of each other, you know the situation, that the media will have wanted to make its own positive or negative takes on that, you know, she's only getting these jobs because she's Kate's sister,
yeah.
or she's not getting any jobs because she's not Kate or whatever. I mean, was that something you witnessed and suffered from the beginning?
Definitely, definitely. All the articles at the very beginning were, Kate wants a sister, Kate wants a sister, Kate wants a sister.
In a positive way.
Like. In a positive way at the beginning. And now it's kind of, the narrative's changed quite a lot to that she's, you know, embarrassed of me or all of these things. But, you know, it's such a shame that the media will just make up whatever narrative that they want to make up. And, you know, I know, you know, what the reality is. And I don't really think it really matters what everyone else thinks, you know.
Do you read your own press?
I sometimes, yeah, yeah. I don't read the comments because that's where it gets so depressing. But yeah, I read some of the articles. Some aren't so bad and some are awful. But
how often do you read something that there's, absolute bollocks, like there's not a word of
truth. Oh my God, so often now. When I was younger, not so much, but now, because I rebelled a little bit against what the norm was in terms of, I was doing modeling, I was really successful, I was doing what most people would have dreamed of doing. And then I was like, actually, I want to do OnlyFans. So I think the media kind of, you know, I remember they wrote an article saying, Lottie Moss hits rock bottom as she signs up for, you know, adult content website, OnlyFans, blah, 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 blah. And the person that wrote the article was a woman, and she was just absolutely going in on me. And I read this article and that she brought up my family, and it was just really like vulgar. And I remember at the time I was living in a house in Beverly Hills. And I just done a shoot that day with, like, you know, a few of my friends, and we were on top of a Bentley, like with our underwear on. And I thought, you know what, if this is rock bottom, I'm going to stay here. So I've never been that concerned about what they write, because I live a very, like, nice life, and I'm very happy within who I am now. But I have struggled in the past, and definitely seeing these articles written about you, like if you saw anything written about you by anyone, it's going to have a little bit of an impact on you. But I've grown up with it since I was 18 years old. I've been paparazzied and been seen in the press. So I think by this point, I'm just like, you can't hurt me anymore. I've seen everything.
I mean, I'll tell you my media lies story, right? Which then makes me think, if that's what happened to me, what fucking chance has anybody in the public eye got? So, you know, you can put a Google alert on your name.
I
don't know if you do it or not. So I have a Google alert on my name. So anytime a new piece of content, you know, ranks on Google, it pops up. And every time it happens, I always get the email, but I'm always expecting it because, like, for example, I've done a podcast and we've, you know, it's gone into the press. Therefore, I'm expecting it to happen, whatever it may be. But I think last summer, my name pings up. I think, oh, what the fuck's that? You know, what have I done? And it says, entrepreneur's sea squirter is cansed, as in CANNES apostrophe D. So I'm thinking, what the fuck?
I bet you didn't. You swiped so quickly on that.
Well, to give a bit of context, so I have a boat called the Sea Squirter.
Okay.
Now
it makes sense.
Which lived in, at the time was living in Cannes, because we used to spend the summers on it there. But I'd not been there for 2 weeks. So I'm reading this article, thinking, obviously my name, Cannes. Obviously I know it's like a play on Cannes, but I'm thinking, fucking hell, like, has the boat been impounded, or, you know, what's going on while I'm going on? So I click this article, and it's from some American newspaper, like Page 3 or something. And I'm reading through, and it has this full story, like literally paragraphs and paragraphs of story about how Matt Haycock's boat, he's tired of all the attention he's getting on it because of the name Sea Squirter, and that every time people walk past and there's oohs and ahs, he can't take it anymore. So he's decided to have the name covered up, and they've got pictures of me. I stood with no clothes on the front of the boat. They got pictures of, like, girls jumping off the back of it. But then this kind of captain on his knees sticking white paper over the name.
Oh, wow.
So obviously, you know, now I've read it through, I'm thinking, oh, thank fuck for that. You know, like, you know, it's absolutely nothing. But where has this story come from? And the whole truth behind the story, I mean, it wasn't even a story. Like, literally, we booked it for a charter one night. It wasn't even a charter. Someone was using it for a cocktail party for like 4 hours.
Oh, okay.
And the woman who was coming to use it for a corporate event, she saw the name and she's like, oh, fuck, it says to the captain, okay, I don't like, you know, I don't want anyone seeing that name. Not that anyone would have fucking noticed. But, you know, so she says to the captain, can you cover the name up? And I only even knew about it because he sent me a picture of them putting white paper on the back of it because he thought it was funny. And literally, it was on and off in 4 hours, and it was like a non-story. But some random journo
spun this into
the most mental thing, you know, literally, like, putting pictures of me and my missus and whatever on there. I'm thinking, well, if that's the effort you can go to make absolute
really,
garbage about me.
They love to, like, get a story that's nothing, and they make it into this whole thing. It's so ridiculous. I don't even know how they do it. I'm convinced they're pulling things out of hats. They're like, right, so we're going to pull a name, and then we're going to put a story out of it, and then just match them together. It's crazy.
So let's go back to your prolific childhood spending. Yeah. So you met the accountant, James. That was called James, you said, yeah. Matt James. And you've been with him ever since. What did he say to you? How did you start to manage your money back then? Because I mean, I presume
I've never been good at managing my money, and I will admit this, like, I spent every penny of what I made back then, everything. And it's one of my biggest regrets
until
in life.
When?
Until around about now, honestly. Oh. Yeah. Like, to be honest, like, now I've got money in my account. But honestly, for a lot of years, I really struggled because I was just spending and spending. And for the longest time, when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever, when I was really doing modeling, I was just making money. I didn't have to look at price tags. I could just, like, I was just spending and spending and spending. I thought it was an unlimited supply of money. Turns out that's not real. So,
I mean, what can you put a figure on what you think you've earned and spent?
God, it would be sad to, honestly. I don't even want to, because it's honestly, like, it's so depressing and so, like, I feel like it's just, like, if people are listening, they'll just be like, God, you idiot. Like,
it's a very lumpy seven-figure sum.
It's a very, very lumpy sum of money. Like, it is crazy. But you know what? It's taught me that, you know, the thing is with money, you can always make it back. This is the thing. And it's really motivated me to be better with my money now. And rather I figure it out now than when I'm in my 30s or 40s that, like, damn, I should have saved my money. You know, I'm still very young and I've still got a lot in my career that I want to do and that I know I can do. So,
and I think,
you know, it's a lesson.
but do you regret it?
I think I regret spending the money. I regret not buying a house. I regret not investing in something with that money. But I actually did. I tried to buy a house back then. And I asked my accountant, can you ask the bank? Blah, 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 blah. They declined. They said I was an erratic spender. I was like, yep, that sounds about right. So I actually wasn't even allowed to buy a house back then. But I do really wish that I'd figured it out and spent less. And,
well, let's be clear. You could have bought a house. You just spent,
I just had to spend less.
Much money. You wanted a mortgage.
Do you know what it was? It was that my spending was so up and down. It was like one month I'd spend a certain amount. One month I'd spend less. One month I'd spend more. So they need it to be like on a you know, trajectory. But I do regret it. But at the same time, you can make all that money back. And it's taught me so much as well to be better with money, and that money does run out.
Are there any, other than just spending on clothes and living a good life, any specific, like, one-off crazy purchases or, you know, buy some dinosaur remains that you've had sat in the front room or anything?
You know what? No. Like, I think I spend a lot of money on just, like, hotels, really nice holidays. I once went to LA and I, like, paid for all my friends' flights and paid for a nice villa. House in the hills, it was like 10 grand for a month or something, like, you know, like that kind of craziness. But it was, yeah, more just places I was staying and the holidays that I was booking and the flights I was booking. But I had no respect for the money, because I was like, if I, like, missed a 2 grand flight, I was just like, just book it again, just do it again, you know, fine, we'll have another 2 grand. It just didn't process in my brain that, you know, this money will run, it's going down, you know. And, you know, as when I stopped modeling full time, it was going down because I wasn't making any more, you know. So, yeah,
you're actually, I say, one of the few, probably the only person I can think of knowing or speaking to, you know, from a media type life who actually was happy to spend money. I mean, everyone else I know will say, oh, you know, they've spent 7 hours this afternoon ringing the travel lodge to try and get them to do a collaboration, you know, to get a £50 room for free.
I never
instead.
Like doing that. I never like trying to get free things. And I still have a bit of a weird thing with it where I'm like, I'd rather just, like, pay for it. Like, I don't like to feel like I owe people anything. And I like to feel like I got it myself, you know? If I'm going to stay in, like, a nice hotel, I'm going to be like, hello, Mrs. Moss. I'm like, yes, you know, this is my room and I paid for it. But yeah, sometimes it's fun to get free things, you know, if you've got followers, you've got a good content, you know, you might as well get free things from what you do, you know, it's the perks.
Let's have another rewind.
Yeah.
Go back to starting modeling again. You said that you were spending a lot of time around people 20 years older than you, and you were kind of doing what they were doing, drinking and doing drugs. Let's talk about drugs. I presume you can remember taking your first drug.
Yes, I do remember taking my first drug when I was, like, so young. I was like 15 years old.
What was it?
It was MDMA, actually. And I think I remember smoking a bit of weed at the time as well. And then, but yeah, it was a serious thing for me until I moved to London. Honestly, I never really, you know, I took it here and there when I was at parties with friends when I was younger, under 18. But
when you first took it, was it kind of being offered onto you by someone in a work, like in a working environment, or you just in a
party? Well, when I was like 18.
No, when you were 15, 16.
Oh, no, like when I was 15, 16, it was just friends that I was hanging around with at school. And yeah, actually, probably was a bit younger, actually. Thinking about it now.
Well, I had Kerry Katone on here a few weeks ago, yeah. And she was saying that she did a first line of coke with her mum at 11 years old.
What? That's crazy.
Because her mum gave it to her and told her it was sherbet.
That's crazy. Oh my God. That's wild. No, my mind was not given to me by my mum, but it was literally a bunch of us, like just friends and stuff. And we, you know, we'd go to like each other's houses. And just one time someone had MDMA and we were like, yeah, let's take it. But we literally stayed in the house. And I remember like just not being able to handle it well at all. Like I remembered like being so thirsty. I had like a saucepan of water and I was just drinking out of it. But at that stage in my life, it wasn't something that I even really cared about, really enjoyed. I had a very happy childhood, mostly. Like, and it wasn't something... I think drugs is mostly... When you become addicted to it or when it becomes a problem is when something is missing in your life and when you're not happy because it becomes a substitute for the, like, unhappiness that you feel. And so I never really had an issue with it until I moved to London and I became quite depressed. And that was when it became quite bad, you know?
You became depressed in London and therefore started taking more drugs.
Yeah, so it became something I wasn't super happy with where I was at in my life, my mental health. And since then, I've addressed my mental health and I found out the problems that I have with it. But at that stage, I had no idea, you know, that I had mental health problems. And so when I started taking drugs, it made me very impulsive and I'm already a very impulsive person. And it was just, yeah, out of control.
But did you not find it a vicious cycle as well, that, you know, you're depressed, so you take drugs, but then you take drugs, so you want to come down, which makes you fucking depressed anyway?
Well, I mean, as well, but it's the shame that you feel from taking drugs. But then when you take the drugs again, you stop feeling the shame for a little bit and then you do, you know. So, yeah, it's a vicious cycle, but...
And how long would you consider you had a problem for?
I'm trying to think. Honestly, I don't know if I had so much of a problem with the drugs in itself more than just like I'm very impulsive and I was very, and I didn't really know this at the time, but I was really depressed. So I did actually end up going to a treatment center at the beginning of last year. And I used drugs as more of an escape than it was anything else. And it wasn't even really about the drugs. It was more just about the escape that I needed for myself. Like I needed to feel like I had some sort of control in my life. My agents were very... You know, they had control of most things in my life. You know, my weight, my hair colour, my boyfriend, you know, who I was dating, things like that. It was all very, like, controlled, what I was wearing. Everything was controlled for me and planned out for me. And I just needed something that they couldn't, you know, mess with.
But why did you accept that control? It's a specific question because you've already told me that you don't like, you know, you don't like being told what to do. You don't like being shouted at. It normally makes you go the other way. Yeah. So how come you were accepting of being controlled at work?
I think I rebelled in other ways. And so that made me feel like I had control. You know, when I was going out and, you know, drinking, doing all these things, I felt like, well, I've got this, you know, so I have that control in my life. But yeah, the other things, I remember they said, you know, we don't want you to get any tattoos. And so I got a tattoo and then, you know, it was all these little things. And then they were like, we don't want you to get any surgery. And I got my boobs done. And so there were little ways where I was just like, you know, and then I colored my hair pink at one point. I was just trying to, because they were trying to mold me so badly into Kate Moss Part 2, you know, this person that is, you know, going to be like a successful supermodel. And I just never saw that for myself. And I know that there could have been an angle which would have been taken that I would have been like happy in. And now I'm working with brands that I actually really enjoy working with. And I'm with a new agency and they've asked me, you know, where do you want to go in your career? Instead of like, right, this is where you're going to go. This is what we see for you.
When you first started, where did you want to go? Because I guess if you're getting booked in those big cities, you know, those big brands, I mean, it must have been very natural to, you know, to think, well, I can follow in Kate's footsteps or I can be, you know, but you You never thought in those terms. You were just, yeah, kind of just going with each job and each day, and
exactly, yeah,
getting another 14 grand to spend.
Yeah, another 14. Do you know what? And I don't want ever to come this to come across like I'm, you know, not grateful for what happened. Like, I really am, and it's got me where I am today. And, you know, I just think it could have been handled better. And I think the people that are working in this industry need to take care a little bit more of the young people coming into this industry, because it is a lot to be in this fashion industry, in this, you know, modeling industry. It's a lot of, you know, pressures, and it's a lot of, you know, way and being the right way and being the right look and having the right fashion sense. And it's all, it is a lot of pressure. And for a young person trying to figure out who they are, I had no idea who I was when I left that industry. I was like, I'm still, you know, kind of in it. But when I left my agency, I didn't know who I was, because they kind of sculpted me to be this person. And I thought, I don't even know what I like. I don't even know the clothes that I really like. I don't even know, you know, what I want to do with my life. I had no idea. It was so lost.
And you know, when you hear the stories about, you know, like modeling agencies putting pressure on the girls to, you know, to lose weight or to maintain a certain weight and stuff. I mean, is it always in like an unfair type situation? And I mean, I know you could, in today's world, you know, everyone says it's unfair to tell anyone, you know, what weight or whatever they should or shouldn't be. But I mean, like, sometimes, you know, you look at a boy band and they say, oh, it's unfair, management's been telling him to lose weight. Well, he's fucking fat. I mean, he needs to lose weight.
I mean,
but, you know, then when you've got skinny models anyway, then it probably does look unfair and unrealistic and causing anorexia.
But I think like, you know, you see, the thing is with musicians, it's like they can kind of look, they should be able to look however they want, because their talent is not based on them looking a certain way. Their talent is their voice.
But you
or
don't
their
want a chubby
skill.
Member of Boyzone bouncing up and down the stage, do you?
I mean, you know, for me, I just don't think that weight should be, you know, a thing ever. You know, it is, you get hired for what you look like, and if someone doesn't like it, then they can fire you. Do you know what I mean? You know, well, they can't anymore. But like, it's just, I just think being told how to look is such a, it can trigger so many things in your brain of like eating disorders and things like that. And I'm so shocked I never got one. Like, when I was working with my agency, I remember when I first moved to London and I was taking things more seriously now, because I was living here now, so I had all the free time and I was working full time. And they were like, right, we're going to get you a personal trainer because you need to be a 23-inch waist. And I didn't really think that that was weird at the time. But when I tell people now, they're like, that's really bad.
I can't put that into context. I mean, what's your waist now?
Probably like 27, 26. Okay. So it's very, very small, especially for me, who's quite small.
You're making me feel very podgy with my 32-inch jeans.
Oh, God. I mean, well, you don't have to get on a campaign tomorrow, so, you know, you're lucky.
But I've got to make a naked snow globe.
Yeah, you do, to be fair, to be honest. But, yeah, so I think I just wanted to... I did want to stay in shape because I did want to look good. And I do still want to stay in shape because I want to look good. But I think telling everyone to be a certain size and waist, it's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And they can't do that anymore, which is good. But back when I started, they did.
I going back actually just a childhood thing, I made a note of a comment I read in the papers about you saying that you paid for your own private school.
I did pay for my own private school.
So when was that, like 16, 17?
When I was 17, I moved to private school and I paid for it, yeah.
And why were you still at school at that point with the modelling going on? I mean,
now you have to finish. So I was the first year, I think, where you had to finish college.
Okay.
So you have to go until you're 18 now.
Oh, do you? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So you have to go to college, so you have to finish until you're 18 and you can leave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So I had no choice. But
What were you studying?
I was studying media photography. And I did BTEC business as well. And then I was also doing English at one point, but I dropped it. Well, I got dropped actually because I got an E in the AS level. So they were like, yeah, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, yeah, fine, whatever. But I always knew I wasn't academic. And I think, you know, it's like this theory of like all the animals going up a tree. You can't expect every animal to be able to climb a tree in the same way that, you know, you can't expect all people to be able to take the same test.
I've never heard this theory. Tell me about the animal tree theory.
You know, if you bring a group of like zoo animals together, so like an elephant, a monkey, all of these things together, and tell them to climb a tree, obviously some of them are going to do better than others.
Yeah.
You know, and some people just aren't built like that. Some people aren't mentally, you know, they can't all sit down and do a test. Some people don't, their brains don't work that way. And mine definitely didn't. But I just kind of knew I was a creative person and I had modeling as well. So I was like, yeah, this is not, this academic stuff is not for me.
So you talked about rehab earlier on.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me how that came about. Because I mean, I think I read something about one of your friends kind of pushing you to go into it.
Yeah, my best friend came to me and she was just really concerned about my mental health. And, you know, it was at a point where I think it was probably the lowest point in my mental health at the time. And I wasn't taking care of myself. And, you know, I remember it got to a point where I couldn't even like look myself in the mirror because it was so bad. But I really didn't understand what it was until I got to rehab where I figured out, you know, I had depression and it runs in my family. So it makes sense. But it was really hard for me to deal with because I don't like being a pity party person. Like, I don't like being like, feel sorry for me, you know, like, I feel really sad today. Like, I was, whenever anyone asked me, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I just always was like, I'm fine.
What was causing the depression? I mean, was it a specific thing?
It was years of not speaking about things I needed to talk about and holding things in that just needed to be addressed. And also figuring things out about myself that I just needed to admit about myself. I was in such denial about who I was as a person. I didn't like the fact I was impulsive. I didn't like the fact that my brain didn't work the same way as some other people's. And just a lot of personal problems, honestly. But I went, did 28 days treatment. And it was a clinic near Birmingham.
Okay.
Lovely private clinic, so it was great. So I'd one-on-one therapy and I went and sat 2 hours a day into therapy and journaled. And
is that the first time you've been to therapy?
I'd been before, but I'd always lied in therapy. I didn't want to tell the truth because as well, I always thought, you know, opening Pandora's box of all my problems, I thought would be so mentally taxing for me. I was like, oh my God, if I open this up and it's just 1 hour a week, I can't do that. But being able to be in a place where you have 2 hours a day and you're in a controlled environment, it just was amazing. It was the best thing I ever did.
Do you still keep up with therapy now?
I try to. I'm hiring a life coach because I think that's a little bit more up my street. I do feel that I've spoken about everything that I needed to speak about. I need someone to sort of help me in my problems in my life, you know, where I can say, well, what do I do about this? Because therapy is more like you know, talking through traumas and things like that. And I do really feel like I've done that. So I kind of, and I worked with actually Anna from Celebs Go Dating. And she's a life coach. So I just messaged her and I was like, can we have a session soon? But yeah.
So tell me, we'll talk about Celebs Go Dating in a minute, but, let's talk about OnlyFans.
Yes.
How did that come about? When did you go on and where was your modeling career at that point?
So I went on about two, three years ago now. Yeah, about 2.5 years ago, I think.
So is that in the earlier stages of it?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how long OnlyFans has been going for now. But I actually had friends that did it and I saw them doing it and I was like, this is a bit of me. And for the first time, I really found that I'd felt like I'd found a group of people because I was doing it with other girls that were doing OnlyFans as well. I was shooting with them and I found like a group of people that I fit in with finally. And I was like, oh my God, these are my people. And I just really loved the whole process of it, of being able to create my own content, of being able to dress how I wanted and shoot what I wanted and being able to have like control over the pictures I was releasing and the videos that I was releasing.
And what were your first, shoots nude?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Had you done anything like that before?
No. I'd always been a very liberal person. I've always been not sexual, but I just really like the female form. And I really it makes me feel empowered. It might not make everyone feel empowered, but being naked and, you know, dressing in like sexy underwear, I feel great about myself. And I met a group of girls that also felt the same. And so we'd shoot together and I had the best time. And it was actually when I was in LA that I started it. So we were outside by the pool shooting. I was just having the best time. And I continued doing it. So, yeah.
And at the time, were you still doing mainstream work?
No, I actually got dropped by my agency for doing it.
For doing OnlyFans? Yeah. So that's kind of where I was going with the question. So you were still doing work and then you did OnlyFans.
And then I did OnlyFans. And then I got the call up and they were like, yeah, we can't have you anymore because you're doing OnlyFans. I was like, okay, fine. I wasn't that bothered. At that point, I was in a contract still with a clothing brand that I'd been working with. And
did they drop you as well?
Yes. Yeah, they did. but I kind of expected it. And I looked over the contract before that I wasn't breaking any of the rules. So they just dropped me without, you know, they didn't charge me or anything for it. They just chose not to work with me again. But it was fine. But, you know, I just think it's so silly because I think, like, why should I be punished for, like, wanting to do what I want to do, you know? I don't think it's that offensive.
I had Sarah Jane Dunn. Don't know if you know her. She, from Hollyoaks. She was on here a few weeks ago, and her story was kind of around OnlyFans as well. I mean, she'd been on Hollyoaks for about 20 plus years or something like that, and then she started doing OnlyFans during, I'm going to say it was like back end of COVID or something, because obviously she, you know, she'd been earning less, but she didn't, nor does she do anything more than implied nude. You know, just still bikini stuff, and she got fired from Hollyoaks for it. And I guess, you know, her whole anger around it was, you know, we've spent our whole career at Hollyoaks being forced to do like the Hollyoaks annual calendars and stuff, yeah, where we're doing our doing it in bikinis, which none of us want to do because we're actresses or actors, not to, you know, not models. And I, you know, you're not giving me enough work, so I go and do the OnlyFans, and then you fire me. But I think, you know, she says she earned more in her first month than she would have earned in 2 years of
who's laughing now.
What was your first month?
My first month was good. It was nice my first month.
Yeah.
But you know, I still make very, very good money off of it.
Does it tail off over time?
Goes up and down, depending on the months as well. Obviously certain months do better than others.
Christmas,
so this is the thing, there's like lonelier months, and then there's like and then there's months where people are on holiday and people aren't really doing it. But
what is the lonely month?
Honestly, I probably say like December is kind of like December, February and January. Ugh. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like people are just inside. No one's like out doing things. So people are just on OnlyFans. But yeah, I really enjoy it. And I think everyone should just be able to do whatever they want to do and whatever their heart desires. And I don't think there's anything shameful about, you know, what I do. I really don't feel any shame for it. I feel very empowered about what I do. And I found a lot of like-minded people through it.
So I guess, so you started the OnlyFans, you lost the agency, lost the contracts you had. Has that gone full circle now insofar as, because I guess obviously going on OnlyFans gave you a lot of press at the time as well. So has that then brought other contracts and another agent and stuff who probably work in a different field and don't care about the OnlyFans Association?
Yeah, 100%. And I think I found a better deal now. So I feel much happier that I took that risk, because 100% it was a risk. I could have carried on doing what I was doing, making, you know, loads of money. And I thought, you know what, I need to be true to myself now. I need to do something that's going to make me happy now. And when I did, it's the best decision I ever made. I have an agency now who are incredible. They really listen to me. They really, you know, whatever road I want to go down, they're like, what brands do you want to work with? Who do you want to work with in terms of, you know, collaborations? And I will tell them and they're like, great, that's the perfect route for you.
And they go out and find it for you.
Yeah, they go and get it for me. So yeah, and that kind of led me to like Celebs Go Dating as well. It's like this, I've never done television before. And
Was that your first thing?
Yeah, that was my first television opportunity. And I just want to do everything in life. I want to be able to say that I've done it all, you know?
Because I'd heard you'd done Made in Chelsea as well, but was that?
No, I didn't do Made in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was my ex, and I have a few friends on the show as well.
Oh, but you'd never been on?
Never been on.
Okay.
No.
So we'll talk Made in Chelsea in a sec, but what was I going to say about... I've lost my trail of thought about. No, I was going to say, talk to me about a typical day in the life of an OnlyFans creator. I mean, do you look at it like an organised business where, you know, you've got to produce X amount of content a week? You know, this is how you book a shooting. This is what you do, or is it just fuck it, I'll take a picture of my boobs today and.
I love the way you put it, just take a picture of my boobs. do you know what? So it depends a little bit of both, honestly. Sometimes it's organized shoots that we do, and, you know, we can hire. When I was living in LA, I lived with my manager at the time, and we actually used to hire out locations, and then we'd have a bunch of girls that were with the same management, and we'd all go and shoot together. And then we'd all get content for each other's pages, and it just worked well. But sometimes I just get out of the shower and I'm like, I look good today. So it is completely dependent. But yeah, sometimes I shoot with one person, sometimes I shoot with two, sometimes just me and my best friend. And I'm like, can you take a video of me? She's like, cool. So yeah, it's very dependent.
Have you seen that one thing performs particularly better than another? Like, you know, like a selfie getting out of the shower is better than organized, highly made up.
100%. The content that I take when it's more natural and it's just me and the camera, like me and my phone, me and my camera, works way better than an organized shoot. I think it's a bit more personal. So when I send them, it just means that like it's, you know, it's giving more like directly to them than an organized shoot, which is obviously, you know, a whole production.
So Celebs Go Dating.
Yes.
That was your first telly. Did you go out looking for TV then through the agent, or did they approach you?
No, they approached me. And I just thought it was the right time. I was like, you know what? I've got a free summer. Why not?
No hesitation. It was just, yeah, sign me up.
Well, I actually got asked to do another TV show, which I told you at the time. And
I think you picked the wrong one.
I definitely did. Honestly, you think I would have survived on that show? Absolutely not.
I want to
not.
Speak to you again in 12 months' time. And I want you to have told me that you've
Maybe
done
I'll
it.
Maybe I'll do it next year. You never know. No, so I chose to do Celebs. And like, I'm so glad I did. It was genuinely such an amazing experience for me, and it changed the way I think about dating. And you wouldn't think that, because people think you go on the show and it's just a TV show, it's all set up. And do you know what? You really learn a lot about yourself. And I've spoken to a few people that have done the show, and they said the same thing. They learned so much about themselves.
And I mean, how does it work? I mean, in terms of how realistic or not is it? I mean, I've got a few friends male friends who've done it,
yeah.
And I guess, you know, they tell me it from their perspective. But I mean, I guess a boy's perspective is probably a bit different from a girl's. You know, our stories.
We are different, aren't we, men and women?
I mean, yeah. How realistic is it? When do you meet the people that you're going to be dating? And
well, it's just kind of like going on a blind date. It's not set up. Obviously, it's set up. It's television, but you know, it's just like being set up on a blind date. You know, it's like
the whole thing's under the camera.
Yes. Yeah. So we don't actually get to see the people until we're on the date. You know, when we walk in for the date.
I mean, I've never seen
No. Well, should have done your research.
Have you listened to my podcast?
That's fair. Touché. But yeah, no. So when you walk in, they actually, the producers don't let you see the person before you actually like are on the date. So that's all real. All the reactions are real. The conversations can be steered one way or the other. So if they want you to sort of touch on something, also there's some of the questions, you know, all like just ask them maybe where they're from or like whatever. They kind of give you like pointers, and especially because I think a lot of people like aren't that great at dating, and I think, you know, sometimes you don't really know what you're meant to say.
I haven't seen it, but I did see a clip of yours on social. I think where the fuck it was. It was do you want to have it been spat in your mouth?
That was after a few too many tequilas. Yes.
Was that a stage question?
No, I genuinely just came out with that. I wish I could say it was a stage question, but no, it was.
You can take all the credit.
Genuinely,
for that one.
Yeah, I just came out with that. No, it was an experience, but I also dated someone actually on the show. So
someone you went on a date with on the show?
No, someone who was one date. Of the celebrities was dating, sort of off camera as well. So it was, I think, a very emotional experience for me because of the fact that I was actually dating someone on it.
But did you know him before, or you met him on the show?
I met him on the show.
Oh, really? Dating anymore?
No, thank God. I think it was one of those Stockholm syndrome things where you kind of like feel really bad. But it's kind of the person you're stuck with. You know what I mean? We were filming a lot together, and, you know, he's, you know, attractive. And I just was like, I think I thought it was a little bit something more than it was. But I don't think this person is ready for any type of relationship. I think he's got a lot of problems within himself that he needs to work on. And I need to be with someone that is like, you know, figured themselves out and sure of themselves. So yeah, that was a disaster.
Was yours the show where Vanessa Feltz was on?
Yes.
She was on here a few weeks ago.
I love
as well.
Her. She's so funny. Isn't she just such an icon? What did you talk about with her?
Obviously she's been in the media and I guess in TV journalism for like 30 plus years or something.
Yeah.
So similar kind of chronology to this, starting young and her parents, so she's from a Jewish family, so they were like, you need to go and marry a doctor and stop messing around, writing these blogs for a newspaper and stuff. Mm. But interesting chat, thorough, total professional.
Oh my god, such a professional.
Loves to work. I mean, even now at whatever she is, about 60 or something, she's
a boss. Like she
gets
really
in the car to that job.
She was doing that on Celebs. She was filming Celebs and then going off to film, her other show, and so she was going back and forth. But she is very, very dedicated and like such a hard worker. It was like very inspiring to watch her her dedication.
So when's it out?
It's already been out.
Has it been out?
It finished last week, I think. So
okay.
Yeah.
And has that led to some follow-on opportunities for you?
Definitely. I think so. Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's been Fashion Week as well. So I just walked in a show for the first time in many years. I used to walk a lot when I was, on runway.
Yeah. Who were you working for?
Quite often when I was younger. And then I hadn't had anything for a while. And obviously, I'm not really like a runway model. But I had a great time. A lot of events and things like that have come from it. So, yeah.
if you could pick any reality show to go on, what would it be?
Gosh. I actually wouldn't mind doing Big Brother.
Oh, yeah.
I know that sounds so rogue, but I actually wouldn't mind doing that. I think it would be funny, but I think it would be very mentally taxing.
Isn't that going on about now or about to go on?
Yeah, it is. I think it's already, is it already started?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong TV guy.
Do you not watch a lot of TV then?
No. I mean, literally, I don't even have the normal TV channel. So I've got Netflix. I just recently bought Disney Plus because I've caned the life out of Netflix. And I bought...
Do you have Amazon Prime?
I think my daughter's got the password. I wouldn't even know how to use it. But I just bought Apple TV the other week I wanted to watch Hijack.
Oh yeah, is
so
it good?
Fucking amazing!
Really?
But let me tell you what's so annoying about Apple TV. You get, I guess it's the fast world we live in now that you get used to being able to binge on stuff, don't you? Right? So when you watch a good series, you want to cane the life out of it. So I downloaded this Hijack because I'd seen all the billboards. I love Idris Elba. I thought it's got to be.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, I love that.
Didn't even know what it was, but I thought it's going to have to be good. So I watch episode one, episode two, episode three. I'm in bed. I'm on to episode four, and it stops. I'm thinking, there's no more episodes. That can't finish then. There's the next episode out on whatever, the 12th of July or whatever it was back then. Are you fucking kidding me? And there was three more episodes and I had to do it week after week. But did you used to watch Power?
I never watched it.
Well, I'm very jealous that you've got five seasons.
Binge?
Oh, no, you've got to do that, right? But there's spin-off shows to it now. So they've got Ghost, which basically follows his son, and Force, which follows his one of his business partners. So Force is now on season two, and season two came out, but that's been released week by week as well. So
that is so annoying. And I started a show, Harlan Coburn. He's writes, love his stuff.
All his stuff's the best.
Love his stuff. So he's got a new one on Amazon Prime as well. And I was watching it, and then it was a new episode weekly. And I was like, fuck. I binged it. And I think four or five episodes had come out. So I was binging it. I was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, this is a cliffhanger. And then it was new episode next week. I was like, fuck's sake. So I'm watching now.
Have you seen, there's about three or four of his on Netflix. Have you seen all those?
I've seen every single one, babe. I'm obsessed with him. I actually tweeted saying something about one of the shows that he'd released, and I was like, oh my god, love this, because it's based on his books.
Yeah.
And he replied.
Oh really?
And he's like, thank you so much. And I was like, oh my god.
have you seen Line of Duty?
I haven't, no.
Oh, that's another one that you've got five or six seasons on.
I
always say I'm jealous of nothing other than people who've not
watched my favourite series yet.
Let's talk about your tattoos.
Yes, let's talk about them.
You mentioned getting your first one earlier, and when I was recording this, someone told me I had to ask you about the tattoo on your face, but I guess we'll work up to that one last. What was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo was a heart.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to see whether it hurt or not. So I was like, right, I'm just going to get a really small one.
How old were you?
18. the legal age. And then it kind of spiraled from there. Honestly, I love tattoos. I feel like they just are an expression of like who I am. And I actually love every single one, apart from bar a couple. I will say I've got my ex's initials on me that I'm getting removed. And so that, I can't wait to get rid of that.
So I've got, that is my eldest daughter's mum.
Oh, wow.
And that is my ex, but I only, that's had a couple of removals on.
Yeah.
Only because that ex gave me so much grief.
So you got, one of her, and, well, then, and now you're not with her anymore. Well, so you know what really happened?
I would happily never remove it because, like for me, it was a nice bit, like, it was a nice picture, it was a nice tattoo, well, I think it was, and it was a moment in time anyway.
Yeah, so that's what I think as well.
I really don't care, you know. I mean, I get on with her. I mean, I absolutely don't get on with her, but I do get on with her. But even so, I wouldn't change it. But she used to give me so much shit. Saying, got to get it removed. And when I went to Vegas at the time, because I used the same guy to do all my tattoos, and I thought, I'm not getting it removed because I want to keep it, but I'll keep her quiet. I'll get this done with her initials. So I got this done, went home. She goes, have you got that tattoo removed while you were in Vegas? I said, no, but I've got this done for you. She's like, well, I didn't ask you to get one of me.
Oh, God.
Well, why have you not got that removed? Like, are you fucking kidding me? So
you tried, though. I'll give you that. You did try.
I tried.
Tried to get out of it.
And now this is, like, so black. Because have you had the removal yet?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it
hurts. It hurts.
Having a tattoo doesn't particularly... I mean, it hurts when you're going over and over and over, like, etching the black.
I know what you mean.
Having it removed...
I don't have any big pieces like you do, though, so I've never sat in, like, the chair.
I mean, let me tell you, that was fucking painful. And that was horrendous.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't. That's why I've got like tiny ones, because I like to have the pain for like half an hour and then I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I also can't sit in the same spot for too long, so I'm just like, get me out of it. But yeah, no, I really like all of mine, but the ex's initials for me was such a mistake.
Did he get yours?
No, this is the thing. I remember he did it to me. So he gave me the tattoo and he was like, yeah, I'll do mine.
Is he a tattoo artist?
No, he's just, gosh. And yeah, he had a friend who had a tattoo gun. So we were just, you know, chilling and he was like,
chilling,
I'll give you a tattoo. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, when you kind of romanticize the relationship and I was like, yeah, sure. Like we'll be together for... And literally, we ended things the next day.
Really?
We were very tired. It was a very turbulent ex, but yeah, it was very on and off. But now he's just had a baby with someone else as well. So I'm like, probably should get it removed. But yeah, I remember when I was younger being saying to people, because obviously I had tattoos from quite young, and everyone was like, would you ever get initials? Or someone was like, no, that's so stupid. And then look, here I am.
Do you want to get more?
Right now, I'm good. Just because I'm in the removal process with a few. Probably shouldn't get any more while I'm removing some. But yeah, I definitely do in the future, for sure. I like the patchwork style and I want to get, because I've got one here, so I kind of want to get one there.
What does baby girl mean?
Just baby girl. I like baby, I like the word.
Not a nickname or anything, no?
No. I call a lot of people baby girl.
Yeah. You can pretend to lots of people it's for them. This is
for you, babes.
that's the last supper.
If I get a girlfriend, I can go, baby girl, this is you. It's for you.
And you were coming. No, that's the last, you know, the last supper of the painting.
Oh my God, yeah.
But so I always wanted to do it, but what I wanted to do was I wanted to have all of the disciples as my mates.
Oh my God, that's jokes. I love that.
But I could never decide who the 12 people were. And then I don't know why it took me so long to think about it. But after like 2 years, I thought, hang on, why am I waiting for 12 people? That, you know, the heads are like a minor part of it. I mean, we'll get it done, put the 5 or 6 on that I want to have on there. And then I can fill the other ones in later. So I've got, you know, there's like dad and a few best mates. There's an ex-business partner who I horrifically fell out with.
No!
I think he needs...
You need to stop getting people's faces on you. You need to stop getting issues and stop getting faces.
But I've got like 5 or 6 bodies with no heads and people always say, oh, I want to go on there. So I'm thinking I can sell spots on there now for...
Oh, and then if they piss you off, you're like, I'm going to take you off.
Well, at least you've paid for it. It won't matter. Talk to me about social media. I mean, I guess, you know, at your age, you've never known any different. You've grown up with social media. You've not known a life before and a life after. I mean, I presume you had an Instagram account when you were a kid before you were famous, just doing your normal pictures and stuff. I mean, when did it start to become a business, both positive and negatively?
When I first started with my agency and things like that was when I first sort of started with social media. But even when I first started at like 16, it wasn't really, this was about 9 years ago. It wasn't really like that big of a thing. Like when I was 15, 16 years old, it wasn't like Instagram was still like the filters and the like just pictures of your food and your dog. And like, it wasn't a business at that time. There was no adverts. There was nothing like that. It was simply a social media platform. And as I grew up, obviously it evolved into being what it is now, which is like a huge marketing, you know, thing where all brands can market their clothes and market this and market that. And it's basically an advert now. So I kind of had to evolve with the times, which sounds really weird because I actually am very young, but I still did have to evolve with it because I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know how to do the content and stuff. But now I just do things that make me happy. And yeah, you get brand deals from it, which is great. So I've become a lot better with that. But yeah, it's a tricky one if you're to be a content creator is actually a lot harder than I think people think. It's a lot of like time and energy into it.
I think what people don't, the big point people miss is you've got to create content that people actually want to see.
Mm. 100%. Yeah. You have to be funny. You have to be relatable. You have to be this, you have to be that. But I think I used to try really hard to be like relatable or to be this and that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. And I think from Celebs Go Dating, my social media has definitely like gained so many followers. I've gained, you know, a lot more people that actually saw the real me and were like, oh, okay, we get her now. Because I think it was quite misunderstood maybe for a little while, because I do very outrageous things and I've been in the press for some like crazy things and people didn't really get me. And I think seeing a side of me on a show definitely like brought a lot of people in. And sort of I get requests now where people are like, we want to see your skincare, we want to see your outfits, we want to see this. And now, so it's given me a bit more of, okay, now I know what people want to see. Whereas before I was like, people aren't going to want to see that. You know, I'd film something and be like, that was boring. No one's going to watch that. Like, so now I actually get requests. And so now I'm like, okay, now I know what people want.
Speaking of doing crazy things, we managed to finish tattoos before talking about that one.
Oh,
didn't we?
Gosh, I thought you'd forget. Yeah, I got this one when I was in Bali. Again,
how long
intoxicated.
Ago was that? Recently.
Recently, yeah. So in December of last year. Yeah, it's definitely a choice.
I mean, how drunk do you have to be to make that choice?
Pretty drunk, yeah. pretty drunk to the point where I was drinking like moonshine in a in a tattoo parlor in Bali.
That'll do it.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm very much, I don't regret anything I do. I think it is what it is. It's a part of me. It was funny at the time. And when I'm older, when I'm a lot older and I have kids and things like that, I can be like, do you know what? I had a face tattoo once. You know, like that's just a funny story.
Are you removing it?
Yeah, I'm removing it, yeah.
It's going the same way Alex initials, yeah.
Yeah, it's going away the same way as the initials.
You mentioned ADHD. When did you get diagnosed with that?
I got diagnosed in 2022 or 2021.
And I guess do you do anything to manage or treat it, or is the diagnosis of it just that you understand yourself better?
I definitely understand myself better now. I think before I was really ashamed of it and I didn't, because I didn't understand what it was and I didn't understand all these traits in my personality, and, you know, my behavior that I didn't understand. I just didn't know why I wasn't, you know, as motivated as other people. I didn't know why I wasn't, you know, organized like other people and things like that. And I think learning about it just took such a weight off my shoulders because I was like, oh my God, I'm crazy. Like, I'm going to be, if I tell people about what I feel, they're going to be like, psych ward, like, you're gone. And then I spoke to a few doctors about it and got diagnosed. And it was the best thing that ever happened because now I actually know why I do certain things.
And do you take any meds or anything for it?
I have done. They just didn't work for me. But, you know, I think you can find the right one definitely for you. But I haven't found the right one. And I've just learned to deal with it in different ways. You know, I think a very, very big part of having ADHD is like the lack of focus and the inability to, you know, control your emotions. And a lot of things that people don't know about ADHD is that like in women, it's very prominent that you are very emotional and like up and down with your moods. And I really struggled with that, but definitely doing like meditation, doing yoga, journaling and writing down your feelings and things like that definitely helps. So there are things you can do without taking medication.
And are you off the drugs now as well?
I'm off the drugs now.
Was that hard?
No, not really. I think I just like, I like to drink and stuff now, which is more fun for me. And I also just like to stay in now. Like, honestly, I was thinking tonight, I was like, should I message someone to go like out and do something? And I was like, actually, I just want to stay in and chill. I think when you just, I'm at the age now, where I'm just like, I've done it. I've done it all. Like, I started so young and I've gone to every party. I've been to every place. I've gone to Ibiza. I've done LA. I've done New York. Like, and now I'm just like, you know what? I'm actually like ready to hang up the boots on that side. And I think as well, it was having such a negative impact with my ADHD as well. The drugs like affected me a lot more than other people. Like the come down that normal people get was on speed for me. Like it was so bad. But yeah, like last night I went out, had a few drinks, got home, had a pizza and went to bed and it was lovely. And I can still carry on with my day the next day. You know, it's like when you like taking that many drugs, you can't carry on with a lifestyle, you know.
So what's the future got? What can you tell us about? Where do you think you want to see yourself over the next year or two?
I think, so I'm actually starting up an agency for OnlyFans okay. at the moment, which I'm really, really excited about. It's very early days and it's not launching till 2024, but I'm really excited.
And
about
is that
it.
To manage existing creators or is that to take people to help them become a...
Honestly, a bit of both. I'd love to take on, you know, people that have never tried it before that want to do it. I think there's definitely a market for it in this country where, you know, I went to LA and was doing it and everyone's doing it out there. Everyone's managing people. And then here, there's just people that don't really know anything about it. And they don't know that you don't have to do, you know, explicit content. You can do literally whatever you want. You can do baking. You can do, if you're a comedian, you can do stand up. You can, there's so many different avenues you can take with OnlyFans. And, you know, I work quite closely with them. I go to their, a lot of their events and I've done a lot of talks with them. I went to like Web Summit and did a talk with the CEO. And so I just really got to know the company and I love their approach to everything and I love what it stands for. So yeah, I thought I'd start my own and help other women and other creators like grow into who they want to be with help.
do you know many other creators who don't do sexy photos and stuff in there? Because I mean, I know obviously the concept is it's just a payment portal, really, isn't it? To match a creator with a fan.
It's basically, it's a subscription-based platform. So you can do anything you want on there. It doesn't have to be explicit.
But are there many people who do other stuff on
so,
there?
So yeah, so you know Whitney Cummings, the comedian?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of her? Yeah, yeah. She has OnlyFans.
Okay.
So she does, but she does her stand-up
private jokes and stuff
yeah,
on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, but also you have to understand, like, there's a lot of stuff you can't say, like, on Instagram probably for comedians, like a lot of their jokes and things like that will probably get flagged by Instagram if they uploaded like a video of it, but on OnlyFans it doesn't, so they're free to do whatever they want and then people also pay to watch it.
We might get Russell Brand on there now.
Oh god. Anyway.
So look, I mean, as young as you are, you've had you've had a very, very eventful life. You know, you've done more in the last kind of 10 or 12 years than most other people are doing hundreds of lifetimes. I mean, if you had to look back, you know, had to look back to your 14, 15 year old self, you know, what one piece of best advice would you give yourself and how would you define success?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say one piece of advice would be manage your money better. and honestly, just be true to yourself. And I think success, if you really believe in what you're doing, you can do whatever you want with that. You know, if you really actually believe in an idea and you believe in yourself, I just wish I'd believed in myself more from a young age and believed that I had everything, all the power right here. I think, you know, it would have been a bit of an easier ride, but you live and you learn. And I'm at an age now where I know I can be successful. I've got the power in me and I'm an intelligent, bright woman. And I'm ready to like inspire people. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you will. I've loved chatting to you. And, you know, hopefully we can do a round two sometime. And
definitely.
You can tell me how some
maybe
of these
in Dubai.
Hint, hint.
Yeah.
I look forward to
if
it.
If you get my flight. Well, thank you for having me on.
Deal.